Welcome to 11 Zoos, where four friends chat about photography, life, and whatever comes to mind. Just a heads up, we might throw in a few colourful words in along the way. Join us for a natter about the world of photography and films as we sip on our mid-morning cuppa. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, there's something for everyone in our cosy corner of the podcasting world. So grab a brew and tune in. So guys, our first podcast. Ooh. How did we get here?
How did we get here?
5 hours on the A1.
And we're all here together, and I want to know how you got a camera in your hands, guys.
I'm FKB, and I got a camera in my hand very young, actually. I was about 9 when I got my first proper camera, film camera. So there is lots of evidence of my mates in the 90s. I know the saying goes, if you were a teenager in the 90s, then there are no memories, but there are plenty of my mates.
Printed as well.
Printed. Evidence. Yeah, and then moved on to digital and started shooting professionally about 10 years ago. And we've got another Faye.
Yeah, I'm Faye Hatton. I started shooting about 16 years ago. Started with a film camera that my other half bought me and went to college and learned how to develop my own film.
Ooh, yeah. Gosh.
The magic moments in the dark room.
I wish everyone could just see what you did with your hands.
What happened in your dark room?
Yeah. That's a whole podcast episode on its own.
That's where she met her husband. Or someone else's husband.
Yeah, and just rolled from there, really. Started doing a few friends' weddings and, yeah, just steamrolled along. It was good to be a girl at the time, definitely, because the women were starting to make the decisions on what photographer they wanted, and I don't think many people wanted a man seeing them in the buff.
Yeah.
Getting paid.
That's such a good point.
Right time, right place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good point, because my wedding photographer was a man, and I didn't let him in my room until I was ready.
Yeah.
So I never got any getting ready photos.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't book him again.
Oh, you're naming and shaming. No, I'm
Leanne, and I picked up a camera. I bought a camera in the first year of lockdown because I thought I'd go crazy if I didn't have something to do when we were all locked up. And yes, so I bought my first camera, a Canon, and then a year later did a filming course. And then, yeah, started making films from there. So
your journey's been really
It's quite short.
You just, like, smashed it all out as well. You're like, hey, I'm going to do, like, photography and film.
Yeah, we don't look at my first photos, though. No one sees those.
They're the tangoed ones.
They are. But, yeah, so I did that. And then I quit my job, I think, nearly 3 years ago now to do this full time. So.
Best decision ever, definitely. Hello, I'm Laura. I first picked up a camera 8 years ago when my son was born. My husband had always been the photographer, so we had the kit. We first started shooting on Canon. And yeah, my pictures were orange for the first few years. Really enjoyed that golden edit. At the beginning, I just kind of said yes to everything, and I actually was a hobbyist, like photographer, and didn't talk about me kind of being a pro. I didn't talk about myself being a pro, for years. And then, yeah, just slowly built up my confidence with skills. Learning. And then I decided to set up Lens 11 as, you know, a community for women to learn more and champion each other. And, yeah, go forth, basically, and conquer the world.
And that's how we all met each other, through Lens 11.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That is, yeah.
Yeah. And now we're all muckers.
Mackers. What made you want to teach people?
I think because I had done it solo and I knew how hard it was, and I had kind of had exposure to a lot of male photographers, and it was completely different to the female vibe. And it was about kit, and it was about big words, and I don't think that they meant for it to come across in an intimidating way, but it did.
Yeah.
And I just didn't go down well. And
I what think sometimes they do mean it to come across in an intimidating way.
And I couldn't figure out where I was going to sit in this new creative world. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to talk like that. And actually, when I'm learning and trying to take all, this is not joyful for me. Yeah. So that's why I created Lens 11, because I wanted a place, a joyful space for women to come and try something new and see where it would take them without limits, without big words, without intimidation.
Have we got any tips for beginners, guys? What would be your number one thing if you were going out the first, somebody first put a camera in your hands?
Okay, first one, light.
Right, yeah.
A picture without light is a goddamn tragedy. Mm-hmm. It's flat, it's got no depth, it doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
So that is my number one. Like, if you haven't got light, if you haven't got light on something, don't take a picture.
I think practice, when you're starting, it's really, like, you can be really hard on yourself thinking, oh, that's shit, that's not really what I'm going for, I wish I should have done this, I should have done that. But until you just get out and practice, and shoot more and more and more, you're not going to get better. So just, I think, go easy on yourself when you're a beginner. Look at influences, look at other stuff that you love, look at what you can take from other people's work without completely copying to develop your own style. So, yeah, just practice.
I used to take my camera everywhere, but that helped me learn what I liked and what I didn't like, because I was like, yeah, if you take it all the time, you get used to, you know, how you like to shoot, I think. And also with the light thing, I remember someone telling me once, go around your house, this was in lockdown, bear in mind, for me, go around your house and find where the light is at different times during the day, and then just start taking pictures in those different times. And doing that helps you learn, like, side light, back light, front light, all of that stuff. You can read loads about it online and in your courses, and but actually just sitting and doing it. The other thing is not to buy all the kit.
Yeah, shoot with what you've got.
Don't feel that you've got to have every single lens going, because you really don't.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what to buy a 50mm and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Away you go.
Like, that's the way to... I think learning on a prime lens is better than learning on a zoom. Mm-hmm. Just my opinion.
Oh, there's a zoomer.
Always been a zoomer.
Oh, my God. I don't think we can be friends anymore.
I find it hard to go the other way, you
do
see.
You?
I think Jules is as well. Yeah. Our friend Jules.
Yeah. This is Jules is a zoomer as well.
Really?
Yeah, she's a 5.6 zoomer.
I've never owned a zoom lens. Never. Even when I first bought my camera, I bought a prime to go with it. And I just think it makes you learn that you have to, like, move.
Use your feet.
Use your feet.
Because, Faye, you shoot a lot of events, though, and actually sometimes at events you can't always move.
Yeah, well, that's so true.
Actually, having a zoom is a good idea because you can still get in and out on the shots.
And you're not, like, moving right up to their faces. That's true.
That's you, didn't I? Because, obviously, with weddings, I've obviously always used my zoom, not that I can use them anymore. But I said that to you, didn't I? And then you bought one, but you were so used to always shooting weddings on prime.
Well, this is
it. You didn't really gel with it, did you?
Because
you have your methods.
You don't have to think about the focal length when you're using a prime.
It's one less thing
to think about. Yeah. So what I was doing was, like, I was kind of adjusting the composition, the focal length, and then kind of taking the shot. And I was like, oh, it just is another add-on to the process that you're not used to.
What would you do on a wedding? Because I would have a 35 and an 85.
Yeah, same.
What would you have? Would you still have two cameras?
24 to 70, and then a 70.
Oh wow.
You're a double zoomer.
Where can we find our inspiration?
Oh, life. I just think life. Like, you can't beat just going out your front door. I think if you fall out of love with the world around you, I feel like that's when your imagery suffers. Do you know? Because you can't really see. I feel like you have to enjoy life. Yeah.
Do any of us go to galleries for inspiration? You like your artwork, don't you, Leanne?
I do.
Go and tell everyone about your culture day.
I had a culture day.
We do follow your stories.
Did you read my newsletter about it?
Go.
Yeah, so I did a culture day. I went to...
Sounds great.
I visited Tate recently, which was very good. And Frameless in London.
Oh, I've been to Frameless.
Yes, which is very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's very different. And there's so many of them popping up now.
Yeah.
And you go and it's like a whole room of screens. And you walk in and basically it's famous artworks.
Right, yeah.
In fact, it's massive. The ceiling's really high. And they basically have animated these famous paintings and photographs.
Have you added Gregory Crewdson?
No.
Because you might quite like... his work, because he's quite, he does photographs, but it's really cinematic.
Ooh.
So he tries to make his images look like scenes from films.
I love that.
And they're always really cryptic, so it might just be like a woman sat on a chair. Laurie, I think you'll hate it, because it's just like, there ain't enough joy in it.
But it is it someone looking miserable?
Yeah.
I'm checking out.
But it's like, the colours are always really cinematic, and it's always like really misty and like very Twin Peaks-ish and... So, yeah.
Oh, I'll have a look for that.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Pretty good.
Leanne loves miserable.
I do. Desaturate that colour as much as you can, please.
Sack it down.
No brightness. Take the joy.
Favourite photographs?
Oh, geez.
Does anybody have a singular favourite photograph?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's got one.
Well, yeah, because I talk about this on my courses, so, like, I'm sure if anyone's listening, they'll probably know what mine is. Mine's a William Eggleston.
It's the drink on the plane table.
That's it.
Yes!
That's it, because it's not just a picture, it's a feeling. It's an optimistic first drink on the plane.
Like it.
And that fills me with ultimate joy, and the colours in it are spectacular, because, like, Eggleston is just, like, he was a colour pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my favourite one.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a generally non-sentimental person, this might be a bit of a surprise, but my favourite picture is a personal one. And actually, I don't know who took it, but it is a picture of my grandma, and she looks about 18, and her sister, who, and they were really similar, like twins, and they both sat on a bicycle. And I think it must have just been taken like round here in Yorkshire where they lived. But I don't know what it is I love about it. It's a snapshot. It's a snapshot in time. But it's just, like, the hair and the clothes of that era and the fact that she's in, like, a full dress, but then on this bike with, like, the ankle socks and stuff. And I just love it. It's, like, a really old black and white picture. And I've got that in a frame in my living room.
Oh, I love that. I was going to say exactly the same. Old family photos for me. I can look through them for hours. I mean, people who know me will probably already get.
But you can see, like, your family's faces in them as well. I love
the same. And it's also seeing, like, what they're wearing, what the furniture was, the animals they had. Like, I've got so many of, like, my mum and my auntie in the foreground playing with a dog or on a bike or a trike or something. And then the parents are always stood in the doorway.
Yes.
Watching them.
It feels really wholesome,
doesn't it? Yeah, so wholesome. I absolutely love, like, looking through boxes of old photographs. I could do for hours.
Yeah, me
absolutely
too.
Hours.
In fact, when we went to Kent, we found that old second-hand shop, and there was just, like, a box full of old other people's old black and white pictures, weren't they?
I bought one, and it was just somebody's holiday set. It just made me a bit sad that they were in this
shop.
What's the story behind that?
I know, what is
that's
it?
What I'd love to know.
But that's another good... Instagram account, Museum of Lost Memories.
Yes, I follow it.
Oh my god, so he goes around, if you haven't seen it, you should go and check it out, that goes around charity shops in the US, doesn't he? Buys back family photos.
And films as
and
well.
And films, and then he tries to find the family.
Whoa,
and he typically does. I don't know how, but with the help of the internet, he finds their relatives.
And he gives them back.
If they're reunited with their memories. Wow.
I think we all have had disasters on shoots or any pet peeves. Has anybody pooed in a bush?
Why are you
my hands up?
Have you pooed in a bush at a wedding?
Church.
Stop it!
No. I had to.
I'm not surprised by that, because you do love a wild day.
I do love a wild day. I'm just checking out on wrecking at the church. Finally got there, FYI.
What do you mean you were wrecking, like, the backdrops or where to go
church,
for a poo?
The church.
Oh, so the bride. Oh, right. Wait, okay.
In the middle of a field that you couldn't easily get to, and I got there and it was like, because I often have it when I try clothes on as well.
What, you need a poo when you try clothes on?
Yeah, inappropriate terms.
So, were the bride and groom not there?
No, nobody was there yet.
Right.
Luckily.
Okay.
So I found a nice big holly bush.
Fair enough.
Dug myself.
Holly, that's sharp.
Oh, yeah, but I found the side of it. It wasn't in it.
a little hole.
Yeah. Did my...
You can tell that you're like a scout leader.
Yeah. Get it up. Bob's your uncle.
We're going too far now.
Not like a
too far down the poo road. Anyway, we need to bring it back.
Anyway, disasters. Has anybody had any good, juicy disasters on a shoot?
it's not a disaster, but I have had a back focusing lens and not realised until afterwards when I thought everything's been sharp and then and it's just like, okay, need to change lenses.
I've shot in the wrong mode. And then, like, there's not been much light, say, aperture. When I first started out, I shot in aperture mode, and then all the pictures came back blurry, and I was like, what the hell?
On the Sony, if anyone uses Sony, the menu is a lot, would you say? It's a lot. And when you're out and I have a harness, the buttons, like, hit when you're walking, and so all my settings got changed. And ended up being on something called bracketing. I didn't even know what it was. So you know when it's taking like 20 photos for every one? So I'm on this family shoot. I'm taking like fast shutter. And then basically my camera started overheating. All my SD cards filled up because I didn't know what was going on. Because I didn't know like it was happening. And I went back to the house because they were in the garden. I was like, I'm going to have to get some more SD cards. I was like, but why is this happening? But you know when you're on a shoot, the fear I know what I'm doing. I'm supposed to know what I'm doing.
And you don't, you don't want that mask to slide, do you? Yeah. Do you know what? Like,
this was quite early on, and I've since learned where the bracketing button is.
Yeah. I think it's that general fear on a shoot because you obviously you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, someone's paying you.
So we are professionals, obviously.
We are.
But I think it's sometimes when that one thing that you don't feel in control of it, and then you're like, what's happened?
Yeah.
And it just throws you then because you get.
And you're in front of them, and they're like, you know, you're not missing moments because you are getting them. You're getting them 300 times, apparently. But you're like, okay, I've got this moment. I don't need it this many times. But yeah, like because you're in front of them, you're like, oh my God, I don't know. I just didn't know what button my hip had pressed. But
your brain doesn't function. Yeah, that's where to look at your menu, do you? You just panic. You're like, oh.
But you know, that was a while ago now. I haven't had that happen since because I know where it is now. But that is the problem with these new cameras. They have got so many settings. Touch screen. Like, it's really easy for something to just drop out. And, you know, but you normally you can work your way around it. And, I didn't miss any shots on that shoot. So we're all good.
I think as well,
like, it's scary.
A photographer, like, in the early days as well, like, you are only as good as, like, your last performance. That's how it works. That's what it feels like. It's like you can have the worst performance and it really hits you. And then you need a few more shoots that go well to bring your confidence back. Yeah.
That makes you up your game though as well because you know like now Leanne you're probably really super paranoid about are all the settings on right
yes
I switched this off. It's just that learning curve isn't it of like okay this has gone a bit wrong so I've learned from that and that will never ever happen
that's
again.
Exactly it
having
that's
recently it got my file format wrong wasn't in RAW which is just what you should shoot in as a professional no I was in small JPEG so when I've gone to blow them up they're horrific.
Recent reads, ladies?
Recent reads.
So I've just read, I've got it in front of me because I couldn't remember the author, but Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. So I read it on holiday and it had been hyped up so much so I was really... And I think sometimes that's a problem.
Yeah.
If you get it in your hands and you're like, oh, everybody says how good this is. And it was good and the quality of the writing's absolutely beautiful. Like, she's an amazing writer, but... It didn't do anything for me. I don't know. It just didn't move me. And it's set in the 90s and noughties, and it's about two childhood friends who become, like, video game developers together. And it's about... I know it's
sounds riveting.
It's like such a weird concept, but it's not...
Really they're sat there, like, playing Tetris.
Snake.
Or Sonic.
Actually, they are.
They are.
But it's actually about like how your friendships change as you get older and you become different people.
Yes.
So, but it was good. But then some people I know read it said, oh, I was in tears at the end and it broke me. And I got to the end without a single tear. And I was like, okay, that's that.
It's because your nails.
Yeah.
Nails.
So, yeah, would I recommend it? I don't know. The jury's out. I guess you'd have to read it yourself. And I'm really bigging this up for you, I think.
Yeah, I'm reading it next off. The lights are out. I'm handing that one back.
So that's my recent read.
I read a lot of different books. Crime fiction is my number one.
Oh, I love crime fiction.
I love a crime fiction.
Which podcast are you listening to? Because you've mentioned that.
So, yeah, so I'm listening to one called Seeing Red, which is a man and a woman, and it's based in the UK. And they go through old cases, new cases, and they just go through the whole process. What happened, how the person was found, if the person was found. So, yeah, podcasts are a recent thing for me.
Me too.
I never used to like podcasts, but I really, really enjoy listening to
them. Folks, I think that's it for today. Should we all sign out?
Keep snacking.